And I believe I have with me on the phone Rabbi Galperin.
Good morning, Ilan.
Good morning, Rabbi. How are you?
I am wonderful, thank God. How are you?
Good. Getting ready for Yom Kippur.
That's right. I hope everyone had a good Rosh Hashanah.
We had a very good Rosh Hashanah.
It was beautiful in Windsor. We had a lot of people. We had first night, we had over 30 students. The second night, they're doing services. So it was beautiful.
Very good.
Spiritually, physically, everything was great.
And culinarily.
Yes. Now we get ready for the holiest day of the year, but it's also a joyful day of the year. People don't realize that Yom Kippur, which is coming up on Tuesday evening, is not only a serious time, a solemn time, but it's also a joyful time. We'll talk about that in a second. But what's Yom Kippur? It commemorates the day when God forgave the Jewish people for the sin of the golden calf. Now, 40 days after hearing God say at Mount Sinai, you shall not have the gods of others in my presence. You shall not make for yourself a graven image. What do they go and do? They go and commit the cardinal sin of idolatry. And Moses spent nearly 3 months. People don't realize this, but he spent nearly 3 months on top of the mountain pleading with God for forgiveness. And on the 10th of Tishrei, which is Yom Kippur, finally God granted him, says, I've pardoned and as you have requested. So from that moment on, this date became obviously the Day of Atonement. You know, is observed with our special relationship with Hashem, with God. A relationship that is strong enough really to survive any rocky bumps that we might encounter. We still have that connection with God, no matter what's going to happen. And it's also a day when we connect with the very essence of our being, which regardless of what we are, we still have this connection to God, no matter what happens. We might, you know, portray outward, you know, something maybe different, but really deep inside, we really want to have that connection with God. But even more so, now, obviously, even though the fact that it's a solemn day, you know, it's a serious day, it's also a joyful day. And the reason is because we're confident that God will forgive our sins and seal our verdict for a year of life, health, and happiness. And we're going to discuss in a second, you know, the idea of the fact is that Does God really give me, answer my prayers, or does he ignore me? But that is really the time of the 26 hours that we have to be able to connect our soul to God, to connect ourselves to our soul. You know, obviously we abstain from fruit and drinks, and we don't wash our or anoint our bodies, and we don't wear leather, so on and so forth. We, most of the day, we spend in synagogue, engaged in repentance and prayer. Now, before Yom Kippur, we have the preparations. People don't know this even, but on the Tuesday, meaning Erev Yom Kippur, it's a very big mitzvah. It's a big commandment to eat and drink a lot. And the father is a big blessing as well. The father blesses his children for this coming year. And we ask God and we beg him that he should forgive us and make sure that we have a sweet year. And obviously, everyone knows that Yom Kippur night is one of the holiest nights. We have the Kol Nidre service, which is an important prayer, ushering in Yom Kippur. But also, if you read the English of what the Hebrew is, it has really, really a lot of meaning. And then obviously throughout the day of Yom Kippur, there's five prayers that we hold, Kol Nidre, Ma'ariv, Shacharit, Musaf, Mincha, and then obviously you end with a break fast, which is a mitzvah, commandment to eat a lot as well, also on the break to fast. So, you know, that's it really in a nutshell, but people really have a question, you know, you come from a high on Yom Kippur, and you're moved by the prayers and the songs, and you're feeling good, but you still have a little skeptic within you that you still have that question. That, you know, for so many years you've been praying for whatever it may be, and you still don't have, you know, everything that you need materialized. You don't have everything that you think you need. So maybe all my tears worth it. Maybe they're wasted. Can I believe in the power of prayer when in my experience it hasn't worked? And that is a question that a lot of people have. You know, yes, you come from a big high on Yom Kippur, but really, is it really, really working? And, you know, it's brought down in the Medrash and in Kabbalah and many different places that no prayer is ignored and no tear goes unnoticed. But the response is not always in the form that we expect it to be. It doesn't always come in the time, in the place that we think it's going to be. Anyway, at the high point of Yom Kippur, toward the end of the day, toward the end of the Ne'ilah prayer, one of the last prayers, what do we say? We say that we ask God, we say, and we request, you who hears the sound of weeping, store our tears in your flask and save us all from the cruel decree. Now, that's a very, very strange expression.
Yeah.
Why do we want God to store our tears? We don't want him to. We want him to forget that, and we want him to give us what we need. And really, the meaning behind this is really, really powerful. Why would God store our tears? Is because not only are our prayers answered the way that we want them to be, but sometimes, in his wisdom, God does not grant us our wishes at the time we demand them. I need it to be tomorrow. Doesn't always happen. Instead, what he does is he stores away our tears and files away our prayers to be taken out and answered at another time, whenever he thinks it's the appropriate time. You know, we're not entitled or privy to God's timetable. And we don't understand his system, how it works. But every word and every tear that a person does or cries is accounted for and makes a very big impact on God. And when something is needed, it's given to him. We might not see it. We might not understand it. So, it's the same concept, a little bit of, in physics, you know, the law of conservation of energy states that energy can never be destroyed.
Yeah.
It just changes from one form to another. There's a very similar law like this. No prayer is ever lost. No tear is ever wasted. The request that a person has will be granted. We just might, you know, it might come in an unexpected form. So we still have to keep praying. We still have to make sure that everything, because every word that we do is stored by God. So no one should have this, you know, it's a skeptic in us. Or no one should have this feeling that God's not going to listen to us. But then, you know, it's the question that I get so many times from different people. You know, we understand we're supposed to forgive everyone before Yom Kippur. And people are told, this is what it says in the holy books of Judaism, that if we forgive others, God will forgive me. But the question is, there are people I cannot forgive. I just can't. You know, I cannot forgive the teacher who ruined my whole year of life in sixth grade. You know, I cannot forgive my verbally abusive uncle who made me feel so small. There's certain things. There are things which I cannot forgive my parents.
So what do you do with them?
So does this mean that God will not forgive me? It's a very, very hard thing to answer. And, you know, one of the things that I remember reading once was that it's the same as the analogy of, you know, the mother, Jewish mother who serves her child broccoli. And when the child says, "Ech, I don't want to eat this," the mother responds, "You'll eat it and you'll enjoy it." Okay, so what does the son say? "If you insist, I'll eat it. But no matter how much you insist, if I don't enjoy it, I don't enjoy it. I'm sorry. There's nothing I'm going to do about it. I'll do it, but I'm not going to enjoy doing it." The same thing is with forgiveness. You can tell a person to hold his tongue. You can tell him to refrain from getting even. You know, you can tell him not to even think about getting even. You can tell him to do the opposite of how he feels by doing nice things for those who were mean to him. We have that same story. You know, Joseph helped his brothers settle in Egypt, even though they did the worst thing possible. They sold him as a slave. But you can't tell a person, thou must feel good about this person. He doesn't. It's just too bad. So, in my opinion, that's what forgiveness means. You don't do anything because of your grudge. You don't say anything to express your grudge, and you don't even think about why you have a grudge in the first place. When it comes up in your mind, you just ignore it. You say, hey, I'm on the adventure through life, and the people, you know, there's a lot of baggage that comes with it. Certain people have a lot of baggage. And here's really a little secret that some people know, people don't know. Feelings are like plants. You don't water them, and they just wither away in the dust. So, let your grudges go without any pondering for a short while. Don't think about it. When you wake up, you'll feel good the next day. So yes, you have the mitzvah of forgiving the person. Do I have to like the person? I don't have to like the person. Forgiveness is not that I forgive you and then I love you now, and I'm going to be your best friend. I forgive you. You can forgive someone, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you forget. So you forgive. I truly forgive, you know, it's your problem now. You're going to have to deal with God. I don't care about it anymore. And like we just said, like a plant, if you don't water your emotions and start getting always worked up and always getting angry, it will just fall away. And eventually you have nothing to do with that person. So yes, comes Yom Kippur, we still have to forgive everyone. You forgive everyone, God forgives us. And I want to tell everyone that God should grant everyone. We should all be sealed in the good year, a healthier, happier, prosperous year. And we should all be sealed in the book of life, as we say at the end of Ne'ilah. And we should have a great year. Peace in the world. Peace in Israel. That Israel should have no more of these issues. And should only be peaceful. And us all over the world as well. And as they say, Am Yisrael Chai. Not only for Am Yisrael, but the Jews as well are going to be Chai forever. And God should grant us everything we need.
God willing.
In Mirza Hashem, God willing.
And Rabbi, what about Yom Kippur services?
So we have Yom Kippur services. Kol Nidre is at 6:40, which is Tuesday evening, and then we have services Wednesday 9:00, and then 5:15 Mincha and 6:15 Ne'ilah service, followed by a big break of the fast. Yiftar is in the middle of the services on the October 12th. So it's, and then we have a big dinner in the Sukkah the first night of Sukkot, which is October 16th. So that's open to the whole community. And then, you know, right after Yom Kippur, we're going, you know, it's a beautiful, we go from the solemn day, the serious day, which has a little bit of joy in it, straight into joy, Sukkot, and Simchat Torah. And
so dance with the Torah, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll talk about that next week, because next week we're still able to talk. Yom Kippur is Wednesday, Thursday, we talk about Sukkot.
We're good to go.
Yep.
Rabbi, I want to wish you a Chatima Tova.
You too, an easy fast, and I look forward to talking to you next week.
Same here.
Be well.
Be well.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.